SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
No rest for the weary here. It's Monday. It's All-Star break. There's not a ton of live action going around, but that doesn't mean that we take the day off here on the Sports Grid Network. This is Moneyline. We got you for the next 2 hours. It's Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. A lot of actual really good topics to go over today. I'm surprised, K-Dub.
Real, tell me what you got, because, I mean, right now all the buzz does seem to be Soto. Anything new and exciting?
Yeah, no, the buzz isn't Soto. As I widen my screen here, looks like I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, which means I got 32 national food chain restaurants set up in a bracket that we are going to be able to dissect here. We're going to have some fun with that today because, again, Monday, Tuesday, we have Home Run Derby time, which is, we'll have some fun talking about that. Tomorrow is the All-Star game. Wednesday is a day of nothing. And to my surprise today, I'm logging on there to the early line this morning. Saying, man, I can't. What am I going to do? No baseball till Friday? The fact that Major League Baseball has baseball Thursday and looks like about six or seven games, including afternoon action, blew me away. Gave me like that extra burst of energy that I need to carry me through.
But like the question then comes in. I mean, is it a real All-Star break? Like, I guess for the non-All-Stars, you get what, Monday, Tuesday? Do you get Wednesday even? Or like, you have to be back with the team?
Yeah, I'm thinking Wednesday is like a like if you play Thursday, most teams don't, so it's really Friday. But I'm thinking that, let's just say you have an away game on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Man, you can't be flying in there hungover like Thursday, 2 in the afternoon for a 7 o'clock game. That you got to be in there the day before, yeah, get back out on the field.
And, but also, what kind of break is Monday, Tuesday? I can't bring the kids. Or the, I mean, I guess it's the summer, but like, you know, what is that? That's not a real break. That's a terrible All-Star break.
Boys are heading to Vegas. I mean, wait till you see the pictures of Vegas this weekend with Major League Baseball money flowing around here, knowing they got, what, 36 hours or so to let loose?
Yeah, that's like a scheduled day off and a rainout, essentially. Is that Major League Baseball's All-Star break?
Thank God.
My goodness. Did it used to be a lot more?
I thought it was still Friday. Yeah, I thought it was still Friday, but Thursday got me reinvigorated. Like, I don't have to make up ridiculous content for, like, 4 days. You know what I mean? At least we're going to get that one day. Because you can, you know, harp on Monday. You can lean on the weekend, right? Tuesday's the All-Star game, which gives you a little bit of stuff. You could talk some NFL. Wednesday, there's nothing, which probably is the day that you say, okay, second half of the Major League Baseball season, talk some NFL. But Thursday, at least you're back into the flow. But also, the NFL, training camps, they're starting to get underway right now. It's beautiful.
Yeah, but, I mean, is there any movers and shakers, or is it just the symbol of the
symbol.
Fact that they're out?
Yeah, it's
there.
A symbol. Yeah, it's a symbol. Like, you want to get outside, you want to put the cleats on right now. 44, I want to get outside, put the cleats on, run a few routes. Like, yeah, heading into camp, see if we can get after it. See what we got. Like, I get that feeling. Like, I don't know. When's the last time I ran around? Who knows? Probably with the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Does that count, though? Does that qualify?
I think it does.
That was like the
end of the year. That's crazy. That was the end of football season. Boy, to be honest, you could say it went by quick, but that feels like it wasn't too long ago that we were in Los Angeles and going, wow, look at this. Only one game left, and into the abyss we go, and here we go, saying, all right, training camps on July 18th have now started.
I guess it's almost a good reminder of how dramatic people like to be about various points in the sports calendar. Oh, football's over. Whatever will we do? Be fine, speculate on the offseason, get super excited for free agency, and then the draft, and then focus in on a phenomenal NBA that'll carry us the rest of the way. I mean, even this All-Star break. And I'm even somewhat taking a shot at you here, but though not too much, but like, oh, no, baseball's gone?
Yeah,
so, Donnie, Wednesday's the only day where we're not going to preview a baseball?
Nah, today's
Donnie, we had two.
Not today.
Donnie, no, it wasn't. We did two baseball preview segments like a regular day.
I got to tell you, it was actually easier on me today because usually I got to pick like 8 or 9 games that we have to handicap, which again doesn't take me long to do. But I was finding myself at like, because usually I have like time. Like by the time I hit my office, it's usually 5 a.m. I'm like, all right, let me get out of here by about like that 5:45-ish. I don't have to take a shower. It was like 5:30. I'm like, hey, man, I got some time for some exercises around here. You know what I mean? It's like Step Brothers. So much more room in here to do exercises all of a sudden. It's great.
Yeah, again, I don't know. I find that, I guess it all depends who you are. You hear that, folks? Basically, I made it easier on Donnie than usual.
And I had to carry it.
What's supposed to be a dead period. You carry nothing, pal. Let me tell you something.
Two shows. I mean, I was told behind the scenes. I wasn't able to get in with the morning after, like that show might have not even gone off today. So there you go.
That's a whole separate situation.
Exactly.
There.
Now, what are you saying? What are you getting into? It sounds like some slander.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I got my laptop in the shop right now. Why don't you take rundown charge? I mean,
how many weeks is that?
I mean, it's gonna be gone for a little bit.
It's gonna be back in September at this point.
I mean, why don't you pick up the pieces?
Yeah, no, that's not my job, pal. I'm telling you right now, when I do, like, I don't mind, but when I do host shows, I mean, it feels like I'm doing way more work right now. Like, I got to host 2 shows and set the rundown, which means I got to do that shell rundown the night before and then basically do it over again in the morning. And I was like, ass ain't me. Thank goodness I'm not the host of this show. My goodness. 2 things also coming up after the break. Watson, what's he going to get on the suspension? LaMelo Ball changes his jersey number. It's Monday. Stick with us right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back out of here on Moneyline on a Monday. It's Donnie and Kevin here. If you want to get involved in the show today, anything goes. I mean, pretty much anything goes this whole week. 844-843-6879. Here's what we're waiting on. And I thought about this today because over the weekend, like, disconnect a little bit, watch some baseball, relax. Then you get back into the mold right on Monday. So, okay, not a lot of baseball going on this weekend, obviously outside of the All-Star game, but we do have NFL training camp starting up. But we are waiting. And I'm going to say it looks, and I'm reading in between the lines here. We're talking about the NFL and Deshaun Watson. Which side is it going to go with the judge? But I'm starting to hear this. The judge might take a little bit longer, Kevin, on purpose to hope that the NFL and the NFLPA come to an agreement themselves so she doesn't have to, adjudicate the process, I guess, at that point and, level down what's happening here. It's kind of odd. And I don't know where this is going to go the way it winds up. But also, NBC Sports Edge reports Watson will sue the NFL if he gets a 1-year suspension.
Okay, and if he gets, a 10-game, he'll live with it?
I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of odd the way it's worded because it looks like both sides are, like, putting out these, I don't know, like, ridiculously, like, salvos. Like, if this happens, we'll do this. And, like, we think of the judges on Twitter, like, reading this, going, oh, man, I don't want to give him a year then. I might have to give him 14 games and so we can avoid lawsuits. Like, what are we actually doing here at this point? It should, it's kind of crazy, like, the NFL, like, this is a bargain to con. Yeah, I don't know. That's what I mean. Like, 1-year full suspension. We're going to federal court now. What are we going to federal court now for? Isn't this your league? Isn't this what you bargain for? Like, if you collectively bargain this, you go to a judge that's approved by both sides. She goes 1.5 years. You sue in federal government, even though this is what it's almost like saying, I don't know, like if you got in trouble with the law, you got a DUI, you're going to go 3 months in jail. Nah, I'm suing the government. Like, no, you're not. We just made the guidelines, you idiot. You're going to jail for 3 months.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like a crazy person would say that.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Like, not no one with rational thought or to be taken serious would offer up that retort. So that's why I'm saying it's like, is he sending out a warning shot that's somehow being taken serious? Like, I don't understand how that could possibly be. I'm going to sue you. Well, it's like, and okay, like, I don't know how he thinks this is supposed to go. And another thing, and I think it's going to continue to be one of the most under-discussed things of, like, last year, he sits out an entire season. Texans are cool with it. He gets paid because he didn't want to play for them. NFL's like, awesome. We don't have to make any kind of decision. This is fantastic for us. And realistically, all it did was cost him a year of football. And it's, I'm sure, part of the reason he has more and more and more urgency to get out there. Because, again, 2 years away from the league is a ton of time. It really is. You'd much rather miss half the season. Because also, here's the other thing we really know because of the contract. You've always done a great job pointing this out. Financially, Donnie, missing this exact season, that doesn't really matter to him.
No. Doesn't matter all that much. It basically, you know, it's probably even a tax deduction at that point where you lose your salary. You can write that off to the $1 million where he jumps up to like $30-plus million or whatever the following year and the remaining years of this contract here. Pro Football Talk just put a tweet out. Deshaun Watson reportedly is ready to challenge a one-year suspension in federal court and says, however, it would not be easy to win. You should lose it automatically. It doesn't even make sense at that point. Like, this is a league setting up mandatory guidelines. They say, like, you know what? I don't like your guidelines. Let me take this to federal court. Why they would even look at that, I have no idea. But I got to tell you, the NFL, right? It probably bargained for this. It's a little bit differently. Like, hey, we set up this July 11th like date. You get it out of the way last week. Can you imagine the NFL dropping this to Sean Watson down on Wednesday around noon? Nothing going on in sports. Watson suspended X amount of games. The NFL might cease to exist by 8 o'clock that night with nobody having anything but to talk about this here. Maybe they need a Kevin Durant trade to go down, Kyrie Irving at the same time. Just slip that right through the back door. Like, hey, Kyrie is on his way to L.A. and L.A. and Kevin Durant is on his way for the Heat. And, oh, by the way, Deshaun Watson's out a year.
You want me to be honest with you what they actually is? It has nothing to do with the sports calendar. Truthfully, at this point, there isn't a single thing on a sports calendar that could be going on where this isn't the lead story. I'm very serious about this. You want to try and lower traction? Find out when, like, Biden's giving a State of the Union address or something like that. Like, because ESPN and Sports Grid and Fox Sports and you name it are leading with that story. What they probably don't need is CNN and Fox, MSNBC, and so on and so forth leading with Watson as well.
Yes, and this is, it's, if I had to give you odds, the favorite would be what? The announcement coming this week on the suspension or next week? What would you say?
I, at this point, would take this week. But obviously, as the week, you know what I mean? Like, you're losing time here. But I thought it would be this week. I thought that was the read on that July 11th thing that apparently wasn't even, kind of held to. But, yeah, I still do think it would be this week at this point. But, how many times have we been saying that?
And also, when you take the judge who, it was Charles Robinson and somebody else was like corroborating that report that basically said that they would like, or the judge would like the NFL and the NFLPA to come to an agreement. What would the agreement be? The NFL said a year. He said he's suing in federal court. So, okay, meet me in the middle. 8.5 games you'll play in the second half of game number 9. There's no way they're going to be able to do that. How would you even say, hey, cooler heads prevail. We only gave him 6 games. What cooler heads? You said you wanted a year. What is that about? And Deshaun Watson said he's not going to accept the year. I find it hard to believe that they are going to all of a sudden broker an agreement between the two sides here. But I'm very interested. I guess it's just like a court case. You argue why he should get a year, and they argue why he shouldn't get a year. And then the judge goes, all right. Like, there's no jury. It's just the judge writes up the estimate or, you know, what she thinks is going to take place, hands it over to commissioner. He reads at the podium. The judge said, hey, 9 games. What are we going to do about it here? And there's nothing we can do. Like, does the NFL sue? Does the NFL go to federal court? Hell, we only got 4 games. No. We're suing in federal court.
No, right? The NFL's like,
exactly.
Again, all this, Donnie, like, all right, he gets suspended 10 games. I mean, week 11, like, who do they play? And what's the scene? What's the stage there? Like, there's anticipation abound. It's game of the week. You know what I mean? Like, it's top story. I mean, it's top story, but, like, for what kind of temperature, I guess, is kind of what I'm getting at there.
Yeah, and when does this drop down? Because also, keep in mind, the suspension, it said it might, you know, linger into the first couple days of Cleveland Browns fall training camp. But keep in mind, suspension or no suspension, he's allowed to practice, I believe, right up until game 1, I want to say, when the suspension honestly kicks in. Because it's not a dated suspension. Like, the minute you get it, it's 1 full year from the time you have. The suspensions only deal with the actual regular season games. But then again, what are you doing? Like, Deshaun Watson gets a year, he's still showing up at training camp? You know how crazy that sounds? Like, hey, you just got a year suspension. Yeah, like, well, what am I going to do, work out and take reps here?
And again, it's at some point people will acknowledge that the whole distraction thing was a big lie and about something different. At some point people will acknowledge that. Don, this isn't a distraction. His teammates are going to all of a sudden welcome him in with open arms. Donnie, they don't even have a relationship with this guy. They don't even
what?
Know
him. Pillar in the community. Where'd they go? Right. Bahamas? Where'd they go? Bahamas? Please. They went somewhere, I think.
I mean, come on now. So, again, it's just kind of the whole thing is ridiculous. It really is. Like, do we know how the Cleveland Browns players feel about this? And by the way, I swear, if someone tries to tell me they don't care, man, oh, man. Man, oh, man, with all the other stuff that we had to hear about being a distraction in this league, they don't care about this. That certainly would be an interesting take to have put forward.
Who gets, by the way, who talks? Who talks from the Brown side? Let's just say, let's play devil's advocate. Next Monday, bang, breaking news, Deshaun Watson suspended 1 year. Who speaks from them? They throw the head coach out there? You know what I mean? They just let him, like twist in the wind, like I know that some organizations like to do. Hey, look, I'm just the head coach here. Yeah, but you're going to answer questions for 5 minutes as we ask you what you think about Deshaun Watson. Where's the owner actually going to fly back in, or is he going to be in the Caribbean somewhere with bad Wi-Fi internet, like sending mixed messages back?
Yeah, man.
Sounds miserable, but not here on a Monday. It's The Grid. Come on back with Donnie and Kevin. Having some fun. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday afternoon, Moneyline here, All-Star Break edition here, when we have a home run derby tonight that we are going to get to in hour number two, having some fun talking the topics of the day. If you want to get involved with myself and Kevin, 844-843-6879. You know, pictures I'm looking at right now, Kevin, from the city of Pittsburgh, the ketchup bottle is being wheeled out of Heinz Field right now. So, well, my question to you, where's that ketchup bottle end up? I mean, where's that going?
Yeah. Diehard Steeler fans house? Auction it off?
Like, if you're a restaurant, right? Because we have a couple really cool sports books here. Sports bars do in my area, as well as every place in the country. New York, you know, big cities.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to take one of those guys to be like, you know what? Let me stroke a check for this thing. Lop this outside my sports bar, and people will go nuts
for that.
Because I'm not a Steelers fan, but I got to tell you, like, if that type of relic came down at, you know, that big, and it was that, like, hey, let's go eat at so-and-so's. Like, hey, man, that's cool, man. Look at this. Let me go take a picture about a big Heinz ketchup bottle straight from the stadium. That would be worth on the open market here. Thing is massive.
Yeah, you would know better than me, I guess, man, to some degree with your kind of food business advertising. I don't know, like, what that would be worth, but certainly more than zero, I'll tell you that.
No, it certainly is more. But the reason bringing it up is because they showed, like, the cranes going out and taking it. There's a couple of different pictures, and it's pretty cool, though. It really is. Like, when you watch football games at Heinz Field, like, I've never been to Heinz Field, but obviously you look above the scoreboard, and they show it, and there's the big ketchup bottle. You know what I mean? So it was ingrained. Now, the reason it's coming down here, because there's a train of thought that said, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to reach out to Heinz, like, hey, look, we got this tradition here. Fans love this thing, right? Big ketchup bottle. Like, why don't we just try to work out a deal here? I know you don't have the stadium naming rights. Well, but, you know, a few hundred grand a year. We'll keep that ketchup bottle up there. Everybody get a kick out of it. You'll still get that, you know, views. And they're saying that Acrisure was like, yeah, you throw that ketchup bottle in the river and do it as soon as you can.
Really?
Yeah. Like, look, we're already getting pushback here from this stadium change, and you're trying to tell me you're going to leave this giant ketchup bottle up that says Heinz over it as just a relic to Heinz Field and just to keep this thing going? Take that thing, which is funny because it was only, what, a week where it came out? That ketchup bottle's gone. Like, it's gone. See ya. Like, we don't want that anywhere. I remember when the Eagles, building the new stadium, which is Lincoln Financial Field, it's been the same Lincoln Financial Field moniker since 2003 when it opened. But I remember they made a grave mistake opening the stadium, and they had to apologize for it. Lincoln Financial did. They came out the day, like, you know, the christening of a stadium. It's all like press and, you know, you said the owner says a couple words, like Donovan McNabb says a couple words. But then also, hey, we paid a lot of money for this. Let the, like, the CEO of Lincoln Financial get up here and say a couple words. Usually, what a great stadium. So proud to be like, with the Eagles, and it'll be a lasting partnership, and everybody, you know, toast, and they go home. Well, this guy stood up there and goes, now, look, basically, we paid a lot of money for this. Don't you dare make up nicknames for the stadium like the Link or something like that. Please call it Lincoln Financial. You tell that to a Philadelphia fan base. They lost their minds, and within 24 hours, that company, Kevin, goes, you know what? We made a mistake. It's Lincoln Financial Field. You guys make it your homes. Do whatever you want with that thing. Oh, he basically said, no nicknames. Just it's Lincoln Financial Field and get it moving here. We paid a lot for that number. Ooh, didn't go over well.
I like that move, though. Yeah, hold on now. So you mean to tell me this guy comes out here, hey, listen, you better act up, all right?
Yes.
First of all, we don't sell ketchup in the stadium anymore. Second of all, nobody call it the Sure Stadium. It's AccraSure. Make sure you get it right when I say it.
Yeah.
But also, I love the idea that that guy said that. Like he wielded any power in something like that. You know what I mean?
Like respect
my name.
If
people start to call it the Link, like that's just what it is.
Yes, correct. Like, we're not calling it. And again, people, hey, where are you going? Lincoln Financial Field or something like that. I'm sure. But it's the Link for short. You're going to the game. We're headed down to the stadium. It's all in a moniker. I mean, we know what it is. You're paying for the branding, not because the fan is going to say it. It's because, like, live from Lincoln Financial Field, and they show the stadium. Like, that's what you pay for on a national broadcast. Every concert that goes there, that's what you pay for. When, like, the, 610 WIP or 94 WIP in Philadelphia, when they say the stadium, they have to say the name. That's what they paid for. But the fans, you do whatever you want at this point, but I love the fact that it was like, hey, man, we don't want to change this thing from Heinz Field, and you know what? We throw the fans a bone here. We're going to leave that ketchup bottle up there so they can always reminisce. And this company's like, how many? You know how much we just paid you guys? Yeah, put that thing in Three Rivers. Put that in the Susquehanna right now and float it on out of here. So I thought that was pretty good watching that one come down here. No, I don't blame him. I mean, he paid a lot of money here, and the fans are all, trust me, fans get over it. Like, they might call it Heinz for like 3 months, and like, you know, it's not Heinz anymore. Call it by the new name, and it'll be whatever, AccraSure. Who cares? Whatever. Headed down to the stadium. That's all that matters anyway at that point. But that's some pretty good stuff, taking a look at that now. We do have a home run derby to talk about today. And on Twitter, Kevin, I put out an opening salvo here. I talked this morning, like, man, ball's going to be flying out of here, and I need one home run at 500 feet. And I started doing some calculations here of some monster home run shots. Now, also, I think I'm going to outsmart myself in this. And the bet I took was under 491.5 feet for a home run tonight. When you think about it, it's like, hey, sure, if somebody's going to hit one 500 feet. But I think it was a little bit jaded last year with the, you know, game at Coors, where multiple people were shooting shots out there. And also, the other 500-plus foot shots, Kevin, in home run derby history, they're like almost like a third of them, or at least half of them, they came in 2017 in Miami, because Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton were breaking windows that night. And then you have to go back to, like, Stanton again. I believe it was in San Diego when he was hitting, like, missiles into the third deck. So I keep on saying, okay, Stanton, Judge. Last year, Soto, he's in it again tonight, hit one 520. You know, Trevor Story got one. I think Pete hit one pretty good distance as well. But the more I started looking at it, going, maybe it Pete Alonso, Kevin, is not the big, I'm going to hit one 650 tonight, even though it looks like he is. Because if you look at the odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook today for the longest home run hit by a player, it's Ronald Acuna at plus 210. Pete Alonso is a plus 650. Like, when I think, Kevin, longest home run, I immediately think Pete Alonso. And I guess I shouldn't be.
Yeah, I guess because of the size, obviously. That's the first thing that jumps out there. And I guess if you're going to take this, you know, an extra level, Acuna is favored only being one round. So if that's the guy that gives you the best chance at it, right? Here's the other thing, though. If you use, I know you're primarily, or I'm assuming, looking on some numbers on the FanDuel Sportsbook there. Mm-hmm. If you look on DraftKings, they have individual player longest over-unders. You'll notice that, like, there aren't, it's not like there's one guy there with a 480.5. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are under, you know, 475 range, give or take. It's just the idea of, listen, someone somewhere will catch one, but it's not a number, the 491.5, that's anticipated to be carried over by multiple guys in this field.
Yeah, it's hard to bet the under. And I even joked about it, like, saying, hey, you bet the under. Don't watch it. Like, every single home run, you're like, close your eyes. Where is that one going? What is the rating going to be on that? But I think we'll know pretty fast, where these home runs are going to land. Now, we did learn last year, there's no exact science. This isn't like, boy, we got this into the foot. Because I'm telling you tonight, The home run I'm going back to is in 2015, Giancarlo Stanton. He hit one basically out of Dodger Stadium in a real game. Not home run derby, not like, hey, we caught like this, you know, Zapruder film here on the side of Stanton in batting practice 4 hours before the game, hit one out. No, he hit one out in a Bolsinger, maybe was the pitcher, I forget who it was. He put one on the pavilion top and it bounced out of the stadium. That was 475. So I just do like quick thinking, because also keep in mind, I know in home run derby, you have a home run swing. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton is one of the most powerful hitters you're going to get. And that wasn't a 45-mile-an-hour pitch. Like, that was a regular Major League Baseball professional pitch in there that had that optimal, ooh, he throws it in here fast, I'm going to hit it out here even faster, which you don't get in home run derby, even though you're lining up to crack one. But I saw that and said to myself, I need roughly another 20 feet on top of that. I'll just bet the under this. Because, again, Stanton's not in it, or Judge, which are the guys that would scare you being like, oh, my God. Look at that. Or even back at Gary Sanchez in that same 2017 home run derby.
It's kind of interesting, but we always talk about, you know, in the room, right? And sometimes there's nothing you can do. You get beat on a number, right? Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's points prop. Hey, man, how'd I just lose this again? What do you want us to do? He averages 24 for a career. He's scoring 35 a night. I don't know what you want from us, right? Like, Donnie, if you're in the room and you take it on the chin on the over longest home run in the home run derby, it's probably your fault, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because who isn't lining up? Like, I'd love to know the ticket count over versus under on this market here. You would have to imagine it's honestly, what, 80-20 split?
Yes. Like, what madman likes to bet unders in a home run derby? But it seems like it's me. Now, by the way, in this home run derby, I got to tell you, and this line is already on the move. I'm going to say this as one of those Mike Greenberg ESPN teasers here. But I had a 5-1 bet today that, if I do believe, I checked it about a half hour ago, and it was down to 460. Let me see what we got here. Ooh, wait a second now. Oh, hold on. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, by the way, FanDuel, stop switching this stuff. Okay. Wow. Okay. We got some, got some movement here on this. So I'm going to go over this in just a few moments once we get back after the break. But I do think there's value, but I think this is the best path forward to making some money tonight. And that's naming the finalists of who are actually going to make it into the final of Home Run Derby, not actually win it. Some big ticket items there that you could participate and see. Like, hey, maybe you could get down with a nice little parlay type win. 844-843-6879. What do you say about Home Run Derby?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on Moneyline. Getting after it on a Monday. Some good topics here popping up. Talking Major League Baseball. And there are a couple nice bets here that we can get after. But we do want to get to the phone lines. And if you want to get involved, 844-843-6879. We got a phone call here near and dear to Kevin Walsh's heart. It's Mike Demergis here calling in on a Monday talking some All-Star Baseball.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm going to see all the previews for the All-Star game coming up. And I remember back when I was Kevin's age, when the American League couldn't even buy a win. From 1963 to 1982, the National League won every year. I would cry as a kid that the American League could not beat the National League. I couldn't get over this.
I used to always tell Kevin, I said, boy, back in the day when the, you know, presidents, or I should say the commissioners of each league, would give these guys a dressing down before the game of how important it was to not lose to those lowly American leaguers or lowly National Leaguers here, and how much it meant, even though it really didn't mean much at all, as opposed to bragging rights and we are the better league, K-Dub.
Is this why old people care about the DH, non-DH stuff, though? Because they think that the separation of leagues is still good, Mike? Like, I don't understand.
No, I think the two are different. I remember talking to Tom Seaver in 2007, and they took pride in beating the American League every year. I mean, you look at who the National League had. Tom Seaver, Pete Rose, Dave Parker, Steve Garvey. I mean, Steve Garvey was a tremendous player and should be in the Hall of Fame. Of course, fittingly, at the All-Star Games in L.A. Go back to 1970, Pete Rose taking out Ray Fosse. 1979, Dave Parker, an incredible job in the right field, mowing down guys at third base and the plate. The National League had an edge to them, and they wanted to beat the hell out of the American League.
You know what's interesting about that, too, Mike, is what do you think feeds into that? Because obviously the National League had a stronghold, and then for the longest time recently, it felt like the American League had the stronghold. Is it just cyclical or just, you know, something that happens?
I think just the National League had better pitching at the time. I mean, you look at who they had, Steve Carlton, Tom Seaver, Bob Gibson earlier on. American League had some good pitchers, too, as well, but, you know, Catfish Hunter. Jim Palmer got lit up in the 1977 All-Star game at Yankee Stadium. I just think they had better pitching, and I think the American League got tight. It was important to them to win the games, but in big situations, guys like Goose Gotch just didn't come up big. And it was just the National League had a mental advantage over the American League at the time. You know, and you go back to the 1970s, the American League had some great teams in the World Series. They had the Yankees in 77, 78, the Oakland A's. From 72, 73, 74, and then you had the Orioles in 71 and 70 and 79. And really the National League, what they had was the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pittsburgh Pirates in 71, 79, and the Big Red Machine in 75 and 76.
Ooh, the merger gets cut off. What
Did
happened
he?
There?
Oh, I'm here. I'm still here. I'm just
there we
out,
go.
I'm just throwing out the facts. I'm just throwing out the facts.
The knowledge.
No, it's just the facts, Jack. But I think as a fan, the edge has been just been lost in this whole thing. And to me, all All-Star games have become a joke. And even baseball now has become a joke as far as them accepting so many players in. And it's a participation trophy award, as Ken Rosenthal.
I think the thing, though, that, and I know it's going to take people a long time to get adjusted to this, but the one that might be the most competitive now is actually the NBA because of the ending change that they put in, where at least that final fourth quarter has a lot of competition and high leverage and effort coming in from these guys. The Pro Bowl's been a joke. The All-Star game in the NHL might as well not exist or happen on Mars. I mean, who even watches that, Demerges? And I think the problem for the baseball one is, for so long and still within some recent time frame, the home field advantage in the World Series mattered. So they took that away. So it's hard for people to feel like there are stakes when they watch this because there recently were stakes that were stripped away.
Yeah, there are no stakes. The bragging rights are really gone. You got players jumping around American League, National League. A lot of times, if a player was a National Leaguer, he was a National Leaguer. If he was an American Leaguer, he was an American Leaguer. And they took pride in that. And the edge is completely gone here for the All-Star game. And it just seems like a break, really, for these teams to just take a break. And then you don't even want your players to play. You had situations where teams weren't playing on Sunday, which was odd. Giancarlo Stanton sat down on Sunday, which I thought was kind of strange in a situation like that, playing the Red Sox. It didn't make any sense. So it's really like a week break. And let's face it. I mean, we saw during the pandemic, do we need 162 games of baseball anymore? Seriously, let's knock it down to 140. I mean, let's knock it down to 140 games. Let's start April 15th and end the season on September 15th. Let's have our round-robin games. We don't need 162 games anymore because the stats are bloated between the steroids, juice baseballs and everything else. The stats don't mean anything in baseball like they once did.
No, you're certainly right about that, too. One of the most exciting seasons I had, even betting-wise, was that 20 season with the COVID, that sprint to the finish, extra teams in the playoffs. But also, you know, we do have an All-Star game coming up, Mike, and also Home Run Derby tonight. We are a network that likes to give out some information here. Do you have anybody that you're backing tonight in Home Run Derby or in the All-Star game tomorrow?
I guess Pete Alonso's getting a lot of the talk, really, as far as that goes. And there was some talk, I think, on the channel today as far as You know, what could Albert Pujols maybe getting past the first round might be exciting for people. I really don't have much interest in the All-Star game, to tell you the truth. It's just, you know, I root for my team, which is the Yankees, but I got to worry about the Astros because the Yankees can't beat the Astros. So I'm thinking playoffs already, and I'm thinking what's Brian Cashman going to do to get me a player that's gonna be able to beat the Astros? Is he gonna get a starting pitcher? Is he gonna get a left fielder in there? We know Joey Gallo, even though he hit a home run the other day, his days in New York are done. So I'm already thinking towards the second half.
Well, then let me sneak this in before we let you go, Mike.
Yeah.
Juan Soto?
Let's sneak it in, Kevin.
What's the temperature check on Soto to the Bronx?
Big Cal, please. A half a billion dollars he's turning around. Let's channel Frank Costanza here from Seinfeld. What the hell did you give Juan Soto $500 million for? I mean, come on. A player turns down $500 million. People are trying to survive on $50,000 and $60,000 to feed their family. And this guy's turning down $500 million. Let that sink into your heads. And if one thing we know, Barry Bonds, probably the steroids, not the greatest player around. How many World Series did Barry Bonds win? Did the Nationals not win without Bryce Harper? Baseball's not a one-man show.
They won with Juan Soto, though. I'd say, Mike, that trying to sneak in Soto under $30 million per year is crazy. He knows he's going to get more than that.
14 and 15 years. Listen, the old 36 is the new 36. It used to be in the day when players became 34, 35, 36 years old, they were done. Then steroids came around, players were playing into their 40s. Sure, there was a rare occasion like a Nolan Ryan. Hank Aaron even played into his 40s until pretty well. But when a guy gets past his 30s anymore, they're done. They're finished. That's why the Yankees really have to consider this. They're going to give Aaron Judge all this money. What's it going to be like at 35 years old? Those numbers are going to drop. And you have the injury factor. The Yankees are in a hard spot right now. What to do with Aaron Judge? How do you let him go? He's a fan favorite. He's the face of the franchise. He's going to make a run at Roger Maris's record of 61 home runs. Tough decision for the Yankees on this matter.
And also, you know, one quick thing here that we have to try to, you know, get by here. Now, Mike, you go back a little bit farther here with old K-Dubs. And was there a time, like, you know, back in those days, like, hey, you know, Kevin, I mean, you're a really good kid. Maybe this type of life and job might not be for you. You ever put the hand around his shoulder, walk him around the halls? What happened back then?
No, Kevin told me what he was going to do, pretty much. He told me what shows he wanted to do. He wanted a TV studio.
Sounds right.
He let me know. He let everybody in the school know that he was it. And this is what he was going to do for his career. So we had little say. You know, I was just kind of like Joe Torre at the time. I had a lot of talented students at the time at Iona, including Anthony Carlo, who Kevin knows well. And I kind of let them do their thing, and I guided students that need a little help here or there. But Kevin knew what he was doing from day one, and he's doing a great job.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. See you nice work.
There you go. Check is in the mail.
Yeah. Well, thank you for checking in with us. Talk a little baseball here and also the backgrounds here for old K-Dub. I appreciate it. I love this. I'd rather talk you about what maybe critiquing KW along the way. We'll make for a good hour show, I got to tell you.
Yeah, well, you know, his ego is a good thing. His ego could fit in the screen there. That's all I can say.
Oh, this is good. Boy. Now it's
all right, JP, disconnect him. That's it. We ran his time up.
I'm out.
See you, Mike.
There you go. All right. See, that's what we were getting to right there. I mean, I wouldn't expect it any other way, right? Hey, look, we got to fill in the time here for this basketball game, this one here, and you're already signing your name on it. I'm going to do the men's game Saturday. You'll do this game on Tuesday. I'll do this game. That's what it felt like probably back in the day. Sign up on the wall. What game do you want?
Yeah, but listen, I got this one. Let me tell you, though, there is something where I wish there was a way for me to reach out to more folks like the Merges and have them be so angry when I tell them that Juan Soto was correct to turn that contract down because he's worth more. I love that it doesn't even remotely make any other like kind of sense to them that they should turn that down. There is some fascination that people have with comparing athletes to people that like work 9-to-5 day jobs. Mm-hmm. And man, could you imagine right now if they offered $440 million to a teacher? in your local school what they would do with that money. Well, they're not worth $440 million.
That's the way it is out there. Look, the streets are angry right now with Juan Soto. And quite frankly, you just look because they're up for sale, essentially. And you don't know if the new owner wants this, you know, contract here and all this nonsense. But the whole crux of the argument for Juan Soto is he's so good that he hurts his own value. Think about that. Like, think about that. Like you're like the Nationals, like, oh, man, we can get like four players for Juan Soto. But how do you give up on Juan Soto? Like, he's so good, but does he damage your team because he's so good?
No, I can't believe you're doing this.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What is happening to you right now, Donnie?
Give me three outfielders for Soto.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'm gonna pick like Mr. Prospects and picks don't matter. Is going to end up siding with the Nationals, Donnie? Like here's what I can't wait. I need this deal to be done. And what I need to know is the age of some of the like, Donnie, what are the odds that a prospect gets traded just the same exact age as Juan Soto? Like, he's 23!
Like, is he really, though? Or is he, like, 33? I mean, do we even know at this point now? So, I mean, put me as a negotiator in this. We'll get Juan Soto down to 5 years, $100 million.
Fleeced, I hear, is what I'm seeing.
I mean,
now, the other thing
we'll start questioning that. Yeah.
I want to know, because you said that you think he stays. I don't want to cut us short, especially on a day like this, but
yeah.
I want to hear a little bit more about why you think Soto is in Washington past the deadline.
Yeah. Now, we have a quick segment coming up, which I can hit that, and then if we want to expound on that into hour number two, we certainly can. So there's a lot of baseball talk going around, but also, quickly, too, to give you a little teaser, odds boost tonight, and it's the NJ Super Boost. Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber to each win in round one, plus 130. So I guess they're giving this to New Jersey because of Kyle Schwarber and Pete Alonso for North Jersey? Mets? I don't know. But it sounds like New York not getting that bonus, Philadelphia, or anybody else at this point. We'll dig into a more short segment coming up before the top of the hour. Stick with us right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick segment here before the top of the hour on a Monday, right here on SiriusXM channel 159. Moneyline, Donnie and Kevin. Now, this is teaser time for us here. It's going to be an interesting one to see. Now, JP, how did your F1 race go, by the way, over the weekend? Did you win that one?
It's this upcoming weekend. I messed that
there
part
you
up.
Go. Yeah, perfect, yes. You know, I actually forgot about that until just a moment ago.
I got to get in early.
That's perfect. So where are we going tonight? Today, maybe next week. Who knows?
We're going to the Home Run Derby tonight, and that's all I'll say.
All right. Okay. So we've got Home Run Derby tonight. Sense. Now, also, is it a player or is it a prop? Like, are you taking
prop.
A player to win it? Or okay, prop. All right. So here we go.
Ooh.
So, which prop he's on tonight, which is interesting. Very interesting here. So what do I have here? Let's see. Let's see what the deal is here. Okay, yes.
Hold on, though. Right. Here's my question to you. Maybe I'm off. Are there more props than longest home run, total number of home runs? Now, I guess, then again, JP actually does know how to peruse multiple sports books.
Yes.
So maybe I'm not giving him enough credit there. Maybe
but there's a lot
he has
more.
A lot of options. Oh, like, is FanDuel beefed up?
Yeah, it is. Like, players' total home runs, they have them all listed. Like, let's just say if you want Juan Soto over 33.5 bombs tonight, Pete Alonso over 38.5 bombs tonight. Like, they have all of those up now. And also, you can go individual players, Kevin, longest home run. Like, Jose Ramirez, 447. Juan Soto, 475. Kyle Schwarber, 479. Pete Alonso, I still can't understand this. Pete Alonso, 469. I almost want to just take that over, even though I'm rooting for nobody to hit the ball anywhere tonight.
Now, 38.5 for Pete Alonso. Now, I'm just trying to understand this. That is a full
cumulative
home run derby total?
Yes. So how many rounds? You have one, two, is it three rounds? Like, how many rounds do you need it to win? How many rounds
three.
Do you have to win? Is it three?
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he could figure out hitting like 20 in one round, just really just sending that into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
It's interesting to talk about it. We'll top that in hour number two and much more. Come on back.